Welcome to Nightfall Narratives with Oxford Public Library. We will be bringing you some of the strange and unusual narratives from the public domain once a week. You can download the audio and listen at your convenience from our website, www.oxfordpl.org, or you can follow us on social media. Now, let's get started. Don't get scared now. The Yellow Wallpaper. It is very seldom that mere ordinary people like John and myself secure an ancestral hall for the summer. John is practical in the extreme. John is a physician, and you see, he does not believe I am sick. And what can I do? If a physician of high standing and one's own husband assures friends and relatives that there is really nothing the matter with one but temporary nervous depression, a slight hysterical tendency, what is one to do? So I take phosphates or phosphites, whichever it is, and tonics and journeys and air and exercise, and am absolutely forbidden to work until I am well again. Personally, I disagree, but what is one to do? I did write for a while in spite of them, but it does exhaust me a good deal having to be so sly about it. So I will let it alone and talk about the house. The most beautiful place, it is quite alone, standing well back from the road, quite 3 miles from the village. It makes me think of English places that you read about. I get unreasonably angry with John sometimes, but John says if I feel so, I shall neglect proper self-control, so I take pains to control myself, before him at least, and that makes me very tired. I don't like our room a bit. I wanted one downstairs that opened onto the piazza, but John would not hear of it. He said there was only one window and not room for two beds. He is very careful and loving, and hardly lets me stir without special direction. I have a schedule prescription for each hour of the day. He takes all care from me, and so I feel basely ungrateful not to value it more. He said we came here solely on my account, that I was to have perfect rest and all the air I could get, so we took the nursery at the top of the house. It is a big airy room with windows that look all ways and air and sunshine galore. It was a nursery first, and then playground and gymnasium, I should judge, for the windows are barred for little children, and there are rings and things in the walls. The paint and paper look as if a school had used it. It is stripped off, the paper, in great patches around the head of my bed, about as far as I can reach, and in great places on the other side of the room, low down. I never saw a worse paper in my life. One of those sprawling, flamboyant patterns committing every artistic sin. It is dull enough to confuse the eye and following, pronounced enough to constantly irritate and provoke study, and when you follow the lame, uncertain curves for a little distance, they suddenly plunge off at outrageous angles, destroy themselves in unheard-of contradictions. The color is repellent, almost revolting, a smoldering, unclean yellow, strangely faded by the slowly turning sunlight. It is a dull yet lurid orange in some places, a sickly sulfur tint in others. No wonder the children hated it. I should hate it myself if I had to live in this room long. I am sitting by the window now, up in this atrocious nursery, and there is nothing to hinder my writing as much as I please, save lack of strength. John is away all day, and even some nights when his cases are serious. I am glad my case is not serious. But these nervous troubles are dreadfully depressing. John does not know how much I really suffer. He knows there is no reason to suffer, and that satisfies him. It is fortunate Mary is so good with the baby. Such a dear baby. And yet I cannot be with him. It makes me so nervous. I suppose John never was nervous in his life. He laughs at me so about this wallpaper. At first he meant to repaper the room, but afterwards he said that I was letting it get the better of me, and that nothing was worse for a nervous patient than to give way to such fancies. And he said that after the wallpaper was changed it would be the heavy bedstead, or then the barred windows, and then that gate at the head of the stairs, and so on. "You know, the place is doing you good," he said. "And really, dear, I don't care to renovate the house just for 3 months' rental." "Then do let us go downstairs," I said. "There are such pretty rooms there." Then he took me in his arms and called me a blessed little goose and said he would go down cellar if I wished and have it whitewashed into the bargain. But he is right enough about the beds and the windows and things. It is as airy and comfortable a room as anyone need wish, and of course I would not be so silly as to make him uncomfortable just for a whim. I'm really getting quite fond of the big room, all but that horrid paper. I think sometimes that if I were only well enough to write a little, it would relieve the press of ideas and rest me. But I find I get pretty tired when I try. But I must not think about that. This paper looks to me as if it knew what a vicious influence it had. There is a recurrent spot where the pattern lulls like a broken neck, and two bulbous eyes stare at you upside down. I get positively angry with the impertinence of it, and the everlastingness. Up and down and sideways they crawl, and those absurd unblinking eyes are everywhere. There is one place where two breadths didn't match, and those eyes go all up and down the line, one a little higher than the other. I suppose when this was used as a playroom, they had to take the nursery things out, and no wonder, I never saw such ravages as the children have made here. The wallpaper, as I said before, is torn off in spots, and it sticketh closer than a brother. They must have had perseverance as well as hatred. Then the floor is scratched and gouged and splintered. The plaster itself is dug out here and there. And this great heavy bed, which is all we found in the room, looks as if it had been through the wars. But I don't mind it a bit. Only the paper. This wallpaper has a kind of sub-pattern in a different shade, a particularly irritating one. For you can only see it in certain lights. And not clearly then. But in the places where it isn't faded, and where the sun is just so, I can see a strange, provoking, formless sort of figure that seems to sulk about behind that silly and conspicuous front design. Well, the 4th of July is over. John thought it might do me some good to see a little company, so we just had Mother and Nellie and the children down for a week. Of course, I didn't do a thing. Jenny sees to everything now, but it tired me all the same. John says if I don't pick up faster, he shall send me to Weir Mitchell in the fall, but I don't want to go there at all. I don't feel as if it was worthwhile to turn my hand over for anything, and I'm getting dreadfully fretful and querulous, and I'm alone a good deal just now. John is kept in town very often by serious cases, so I walk a little in the garden or down that lovely lane, sit on the porch under the roses, and lie down up here a good deal. I'm getting really fond of the room, in spite of the wallpaper. Perhaps because of the wallpaper. It dwells in my mind so. I lie here on this great immovable bed. It is nailed down, I believe, and follow that pattern about by the hour. It is as good as gymnastics, I assure you. I start, we'll say, at the bottom, down in the corner over there, where it has not been touched, and I determine for the 1,000th time that I will follow that pointless pattern to some sort of conclusion. In one way, each breadth stands alone, the bloated curves and flourishes, a kind of debased Romanesque with delirium trimmings, go waddling up and down isolated columns of fatuity. But on the other hand, they connect diagonally, and the sprawling outlines run off in great slanting waves of optic horror, like a lot of wallowing seaweeds in full chase. The whole thing goes horizontally, too. At least it seems so, and I exhaust myself in trying to distinguish the order of its going in that direction. There is one end of the room where it is almost intact, and there, when the cross lights fade and the low sun shines directly upon it, I can almost fancy a radiation after all. The interminable grotesques seem to form around a common center and rush off in headlong plunges of equal distraction. It makes me tired to follow it. I will take a nap, I guess. Dear John, he loves me very dearly and hates to have me sick. There's one comfort. The baby is well and happy and does not have to occupy this nursery with the horrid wallpaper. If we had not used it, that blessed child would have. What a fortunate escape! Why, I wouldn't have a child of mine, an impressionable little thing, live in such a room for worlds. I never thought of it before, but it is lucky that John kept me here after all. I can stand it so much easier than a baby, you see. Of course, I never mention it to them anymore. I'm too wise, but I keep watch of it all the same. There are things in that paper that nobody knows but me, or ever will. Behind that outside pattern, the dim shapes get clearer every day, and it is like a woman stooping down and creeping about behind that pattern. I don't like it a bit. I wish John would take me away from here. It is so hard to talk with John about my case, but I tried last night. It was moonlight. I hate to see it sometimes. It creeps so slowly and always comes in by one window or another. John was asleep, and I hated to waken him. So I kept still and watched the moonlight on that undulating wallpaper till I felt creepy. The faint figure behind seemed to shake the pattern, just as if she wanted to get out. I got up softly and went to feel to see if the paper did move, and when I came back, John was awake. "What is it, little girl?" he said. "Don't go walking about like that. You'll get cold." I thought it was a good time to talk, so I told him that I really was not gaining here, and that I wished he would take me away. "Why, darling," said he, "our lease will be up in 3 weeks, and I can't see how to leave before. The repairs are not done at home, and I cannot possibly leave town just now. Of course, if you were in any danger, I could and would. But you really are better, dear, whether you can see it or not. I am a doctor, dear, I know." "Bless her little heart," he said with a big hug. "She shall be as sick as she pleases. But now let's improve the shining hours by going to sleep and talk about it in the morning." "And you won't go away?" I asked gloomily. "Why, how can I, dear? It is only 3 weeks more, and then we will take a nice little trip for a few days while Jenny's getting the house ready. Really, dear, you are better." "Better in body, perhaps," I began, and stopped short, for he sat up straight and looked at me with such a stern, reproachful look that I could not say another word. "My darling," he said, "I beg of you for my sake and for our child's sake, as well as your own, that you will never for an instant let that idea enter your mind. There is nothing so dangerous, so fascinating to a temperament like yours. It is a false and foolish fancy. Can you not trust me as a physician when I tell you so?" So, of course, I said no more on that score, and he went to sleep before long. He thought I was asleep first, but I wasn't. I lay there for hours trying to decide whether that front pattern and in the back pattern really did move together or separately. There is one marked peculiarity about this paper, a thing nobody seems to notice but myself, and that is that it changes as the light changes. At night, in any kind of light, and worst of all by moonlight, it becomes bars. The outside pattern, I mean. And the woman behind it is as plain as can be. I didn't realize for a long time what the thing was that showed behind that dim sub-pattern, but now I'm quite sure it is a woman. By daylight, she is subdued, quiet. I fancy it is the pattern that keeps her so still. It is so puzzling. It keeps me quiet by the hour. I lie down ever so much now. John says it's good for me, and to sleep all I can. It is a very bad habit, I'm convinced, for you see, I don't sleep. And that cultivates deceit, for I don't tell them I'm awake. Oh, no. The fact is, I'm getting a little afraid of John. He seems very queer sometimes. It strikes me occasionally, just as a scientific hypothesis, that perhaps it is the paper. I have watched John when he did not know I was looking, and come into the room suddenly, on the most innocent excuses, and I've caught him several times looking at the paper. Life is very much more exciting now than it used to be. You see, I have something more to expect, to look forward to watch. I don't want to leave now until I have found it out. There is a week more, and I think that will be enough. There is a very funny mark on the wall low down near the mop board, a streak that runs around the room. It goes behind every piece of furniture except the bed, a long, straight, even smooch, as if it had been rubbed over and over. I wonder how it was done, and who did it, and why they did it for. Round and round and round and round, it makes me dizzy. Sometimes I think there are a great many women behind, and sometimes only one, and she crawls around fast, and her crawling shakes it all over. Then, in the very bright spots, she keeps still, and in the very shady spots, she just takes hold of the bars and shakes them hard. And she is all the time trying to climb through, but nobody could climb through that pattern. It strangles so. I think that is why it has so many heads. They get through, and then the pattern strangles them off and turns them upside down and makes their eyes white. I think that woman gets out in the daytime, and I'll tell you why. I've seen her. I can see her out of every one of my windows. It is the same woman, I know, for she is always creeping, and most women do not creep by daylight. I see her on that long road under the trees, creeping along, and when a carriage comes, she hides under the blackberry vines. I don't blame her a bit. It must be very humiliating to be caught creeping by daylight. I always lock the door when I creep by daylight. I can't do it at night, for I know John would suspect something at once. And John is so queer now that I don't want to irritate him. I wish he would take another room. Besides, I don't want anybody to get that woman out at night but myself. I often wonder if I could see her out of all the windows at once, but turn as fast as I can only see out of one at a time, and though I always see her, she may be able to creep faster than I can turn. If only that top pattern could be gotten off from the under one. I mean to try it little by little. There are only two more days to get this paper off, and I believe John is beginning to notice. I don't like the look in his eyes. Hurrah! This is the last day, but it is enough. John is to stay in town overnight and won't be out until this evening. As soon as it was moonlight and that poor thing began to crawl and shake the pattern, I got up and ran to help her. I pulled and shook, and shook and she pulled, and before morning we had peeled off yards of that paper. A strip about as high as my head and half around the room. Jenny looked at the wall in amazement, but I told her merrily that I did it out of pure spite at the vicious thing. She laughed and said she wouldn't mind doing it herself, but I must not get tired. How she betrayed herself that time. But I am here, and no person touches this paper but me, not alive. She tried to get me out of the room. It was too patent, but I said it was so quiet, empty, and clean now that I believed I would lie down again and sleep all I could, and not to wake me even for dinner. I would call when I woke. So now she is gone, and the servants are gone, and the things are gone, and there is nothing left but that great bedstead nailed down with the canvas mattress we found on it. How those children did tear about in here! This bedstead is fairly gnawed. But I must get to work. I have locked the door and thrown the key down into the front path. I don't want to go out. I don't want to have anybody come in till John comes. I want to astonish him. I've got a rope up here that even Jenny did not find. If that woman does get out and tries to get away, I can tie her. This bed will not move. I've tried to lift and push it until I was lame, and then I got so angry, I bit off a little piece of it on one corner, but it hurt my teeth. And I'm getting angry enough to do something desperate. To jump out of the window would be admirable exercise, but the bars are too strong even to try. Besides, I wouldn't do it. Of course not. I know well enough that a step like that is improper and might be misconstrued. I don't like to look out of the windows even. There are so many of those creeping women, and they creep so fast. I wonder if they all come out of that wallpaper as I did. But I am securely fastened now by my well-hidden rope. You don't get me out in the road there. I suppose I shall have to get back behind that pattern when it comes night. And that is hard. It is so pleasant to be out in this great room and creep around as I please. I don't want to go outside, for outside you have to creep around on the ground and everything is green instead of yellow. But here I can creep smoothly on the floor, and my shoulder just fits in that long smooch around the wall so I cannot lose my way. Why, there's John at the door. How he does call and pound. Now he's crying for an axe. It would be a shame to break down that beautiful door. John, dear, said I in the gentlest voice, the key is down by the steps under a plantain leaf. Then he said, very quietly indeed, open the door, my darling. I can't, I said. The key is down by the front door under a plantain leaf. And he got it, of course, and came in. He stopped short by the door. What is the matter? He cried. For God's sake, what are you doing? I kept on creeping just the same, but I looked at him over my shoulder. I've got out at last, I said, in spite of you and Jane, and I've pulled off most of the paper, so you can't put me back. Now, why should that man have fainted? But he did, and right across my path by the wall, so that I had to creep over him every time. This has been Nightfall Narratives with Oxford Public Library. We hope you enjoyed these strange and unusual stories. We will see you again soon. Goodbye for now.